Today, Rinpoche began the section in the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment on how you thereby accumulate karma.
Once again, we're looking at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, and specifically the section called the major heading, Training the Mind in the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment in Common with Beings of Medium Capacity. So first we'll look at the outline, and it begins with four different categories under the heading Training the Mind in the Stage of the Path Shared in Common with Beings of Medium Capacity. So first we have the mental training, the second category, measure of one's renunciation, or the measure of one's determination to be free, or desire to emerge. The third category is dispelling misconceptions. And then the fourth category is ascertaining the nature of the path leading to liberation or leading to enlightenment. So these are the four categories. And then when we look at the first two categories, first we have the actual mental training, and then we have two categories. First, identifying the mind intent on liberation, so the identification of renunciation, a mind of renunciation. And then the second category is the method for developing the mind intent on liberation. So when we skip to that second category after the mental training section on identifying the mind, we get to that method. And there are two categories there that we find. First is reflection on suffering and its origin. And then second category is reflection from the viewpoint of the 12 links of dependent origination. So these are the two categories under that major heading of developing the mind, the method for developing the mind intent on liberation. So the second part is now the actual reflection on suffering and its origin, the first category within that method section. So that's broken down then into two categories. First, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and then reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So we get to the reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and we find two categories in Lama Tsongkhapa's outline. First, showing the significance of the Buddha asserting the truth of suffering as the first among the four noble truths. And then the second category is the actual meditation on suffering. So when we get to that actual meditation on suffering, we then have the categories of the general sufferings of cyclic existence and then the specific sufferings of cyclic existence, and then it's broken down into various categories, suffering, eight types of suffering, six types of suffering, three types of suffering. So once that section is completed, then we move on to reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So that's the section that we're dealing with right now. And we've gone through a couple of the categories already.
But Rinpoche wanted to give the general outline of it again. So if everybody wants to turn to like page 297, 98 area, that's where we'll begin. The major heading, Reflection on Suffering of Cyclic Existence in Terms of Origin. We find here three categories that are explain this. First category is how the afflictions arise. Second category is then how you thereby then accumulate karma. And then the third category is how you die and are reborn. So going to that first category of how the afflictions arise, there are actually four categories that Lama Tsongkhapa presents in that section. And the first is the identifying the afflictions. The second category is the order in which they arise. Third category is the causes for their arisal. And then the fourth category is the actual downfalls or downfalls of the afflictions themselves. So these are the four categories, and that brings us to where Rinpoche stopped. Diksun Rinpoche. So now Rinpoche said we'll look at the Lam Rim Chemo. Okay, so everybody wants to turn to page 303. That's where we are exactly in the English. How you thereby accumulate karma. The section begins with the heading again, how you thereby accumulate karma. So we've gone through how the afflictions arise, and now it's how you then, after that, accumulate karma. So there are two categories, identifying the karma that you accumulate and how you accumulate karma. And then the identifying the karma that you accumulate has two categories. First category is karma that is intention, and then second category is karma that is intended action. So karma that is intention is necessarily a mental karma, and karma that is intended action is a physical karma, a karma of the body or the speech.
Mm-hmm. Less so?
This section begins with a quote from Master Asanga from the Compendium of Knowledge. So when we look at Master Asanga's works, we find there are the five treatises on the levels and then the compendiums. So this categorically falls under the compendium section. And it goes to show that the karma that's being identified here, that is intention, is a mental karma, and that mental karma is necessarily, it's a mental factor. So I guess first let's go through the section. The compendium of knowledge. What is intention? It is mental karma that involves the mind. It acts to engage the mind in virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral activities. Thus, intention is mental karma, a process that moves and urges the mind with its associated, which is associated towards objects. So what does that mean? Consciousness, there are six types of consciousness. There's eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, and then mental consciousness. And then when we look at mental factors, there are what is called omnipresent mental factors. And these mental factors are always present when there is a mental consciousness. So they are kind of acting and associated. Here you use this word associated. So it's this intention itself categorically is a mental factor. So that's what it's pointing out here. So it's necessarily it's a karma that is a mental karma. So when we look at the omnipresent mental factors, these mental factors are always present when there's consciousness, any among those six. So we have feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement. The word intention is used specifically to mean this type of mental factor that's being presented here, which is something that is abiding always with the consciousness itself, and then it's associating, it says here, associating towards objects. So when there's an apprehension of some sort of an object, it's then, I don't want to use the word loosely, filling in the details. You have intention, discrimination, feeling, contact, mental engagement. So this is the kind of presence of feeling, intention, and kind of result of intention that's present while the consciousness itself is apprehending. So that's what that's referring to. So this means that if it's a karma that is an intention, it's necessarily a mental karma. It's not a physical karma. Karma that is intended action is a physical karma. I think that's it. Diksa Rinpoche.
This one. Ta nyeba sambi le te nyeba narwa. Nyeba na sen te kuna na yu lunga ki le te es. Nyeba na wad li ji shebi kuna na yu luji le ta nga ki le te le sambi le se kre es. Sambi le.
They
Lain sampa tante she sampa yiji le yinte teji lue to nga ki le she sumpa ta roos. Ane sampa di yiji le res, lain sampa tante she sampa yiji le yinte sampi le di yile res. Teji lue to nga ki le yiji shibu kundu nga be, ane le tu lue nga ki le sampi le di res, she sumpa ta roos.
That's it.
Yeah.
So another way I notice that it's writing it is that it's an accompanier. The omnipresent mental factor always accompanies the consciousness itself. Always necessarily accompany all minds. And it says here is a note, even the wisdom cognizing emptiness. So that's the, just going back a little, the omnipresent mental factors, and that falls under karma that is intention. So now moving on to karma that is intended action, this is necessarily a karma that's created by the body or the speech. This isn't a karma that's created mentally. And who says this? Where do we find this source? We find the source in the Abhidharma Kosha, Vasubandhu's treasury of knowledge, it's called. It says, this is the physical and verbal action motivated by intention. The treasury of knowledge. Karma is both intention and what intention produces. Intention is mental karma. What it produces are physical and verbal karma. The Vaibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and the imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. Vasubandhu refutes this, asserting that physical and verbal karma are intentions that work along with perceptible physical and verbal behavior. Thus, both forms of karma, intention and intended, are actually intentions. So here, there's an assertion that all the types of karma, physical and verbal, are necessarily intentions. So here, an intention, again, is a mental factor. So this is what is held by this school to be truth.
Dixon. Lain sampa tante shi, sampa yiji lain, teji lu to nga ki lis, wo ti shi yung imbare.
Di yanji surunang sampa? Di tamba,
sampa? Lain lin jiden hasu jirwa, lain lin jiden hasu ba kanga lo, mi yin lo ba, la yin lo ba la su ba, sampa kanga lo, lain li jiba res. Lain li jiba yina lain di kante resa na, lain di la sampi li tang, sampi li nyi wa res.
Oh, less so, less so.
Wo ti shi, li di yinsa re.
Less so. So, less so. Okay, so we also find in the Gula, the beginning. Okay, in the beginning of the Abhidharma Kosha, where it states that who created all of the. I don't know if it's in the form of a question or straightforward, but what created the realms and constituents of the world systems, and then it says that karma. Is the creator, karma of physical and verbal, physical and mental. It's karma, comma, physical and mental. So here, when we look at these two categories, karma that is intention is a mental is the mental category, and karma that is intended action is the physical category. So when we look at what created all of the realms and all of the universes, we would say that it would be karma that is intention and karma that is intended action is the creator of these things.
So here
we find some differences, because in the Christian tradition, if we were to ask how were these things created? The assertion would be that God created these things. We say that as Buddhists, that it's karma that creates all of these things. And Rinpoche said, what is it that science says now? I know there's an idea of an explosion. So he's referring to the Big Bang. So he just put a question out there.
What do you think karma's
So all these varieties of countries and air places, if you will, were created by a karma. So here it says the Vibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. So this view that these karmas are form is also held by the middle way consequence school. So this is the great exposition school holds this view, and when we look at in terms of tenet systems, there are four tenet systems, the great exposition school, which is called the Vibhashika, the sutra school called Sautrantika school, the mind-only school called Chittamantran, and the middle way school, Madhyamaka. So it is the, and there are divisions within those different tenets also. So the highest view is held by the middle way consequence school, which is Madhyamaka Prasangika. So they hold the exact same view that these karmas, perceptible and imperceptible, are form as the Vibhashikas, the great exposition school view holders. The other schools, the Sautrantika, the Chittamantran, and the actual middle way autonomy school, which is the lower of the two Madhyamaka schools, hold that these are actually mental factors, that they aren't forms. They fall categorically under mental factors. So it's only the highest and the lower school that holds the view that it's their form. The others believe mental factors. Diksa Rinpoche.
Ta lunga gale la reje ta reje ma yin ni su she ne zu jin ko na shira ma wa de lu su ro wa lunga gale la reje ta reje lunga gale reje sa na ta ma zo lung la zo na du ma bu cha ro du ma bu cha ba ta la ten ne an ko lung la ba de re ge ro na ba reje ge zu su wa ting sa ma ba ta ma zo shu lu ge na ju la ten ne अनु को लोन लांसों वो तो को नंगा चुपा चित मम्मी शेड आजू मारे बे रिजी गुस्सो वो तीन साले तो ने रिजी माय मिसो से के तात तो ने ग्लोंग को दोबारा कचू को दोबारा किन्हीं को दोबारा तीन साल मारे बे
So here this is the statement that's being made about perceptible and imperceptible physical and verbal karmas being form is that is a view that's held by the Great Exposition School as well as the Middle Way Consequence School. So perceptible for action, physical or verbal karma, rather. Karma is just means action, though. It's a Sanskrit word. Perceptible would be, for instance, when one gets angry and then the very apparent red color comes out in his or her face. That is a perceptible karma that's taking place. That anger is manifesting in an actual perceptible color of red. And then An example of imperceptible karma that is a form would be the vows, for instance, the individual liberation vow of the householder's vows or the novice vows or the fully ordained vows. These are examples of imperceptible karma or action that is form. Deeksum. So here it says Vasubandhu refutes this. So this idea that it's form is what Vasubandhu is going to refute. It says asserting that physical and verbal karma are intentions that work along with perceptible physical and verbal behavior. Thus, both forms of karma, intention and intended, are actually intentions. So this is a view that is held by the Sautrantika school, the mind-only school, which is the Chittamantran school, and the middle way autonomy school, the Madhyamika, the Yogacara. I'm sorry, I've forgotten, but the lower of the Madhyamika schools. Then Golong the Gyapa. So then it reads, in general, karma is of three types, virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral. But here we are concerned only with the first two. Virtuous karma is of two types, contaminated and uncontaminated. I will only discuss contaminated virtuous karma. I think Rinpoche didn't read that far. So When we look at the breakdown, there's virtuous karma, non-virtuous, and that which has not been presented in Scripture. It's called ethically neutral here, but literally it's been not been presented in Scripture as virtue or non-virtue. So the definition of virtue, which we went over before, is that it's been revealed in Scripture and abides in the type or is of the kind of continuum of which produces happiness. It is from a continuum of something that will produce happiness. Its continuum will produce happiness. So that's the definition of virtue that's been presented in Scripture, and it abides in the type which produces happiness. So when we divide virtue up, we can divide it into four different categories. Here we have two in the Lam Rim Chemo, but we can divide it in other ways and divide it into four. First is ultimate virtue. Second is inherent existence or natural virtue. Third is the association virtue or virtue of by association. Fourth category is virtue of motivation. So we begin with ultimate virtue. Ultimate virtue, we're referring to liberation. So this isn't actually virtue. It's nominally designated as virtue, but it's permanent. It's a permanent phenomena. So it isn't technically virtue. Therefore, it isn't technically virtue. Liberation is ultimate virtue. Natural virtue, or you can also, it's a almost inherent virtue, would refer to the omnipresent mental factors that are accompanying a virtuous mind or a virtuous consciousness. The natural virtue or inherent virtue is referring to the opposite of the three poisons. Sorry about that. So the opposite of the three poisons. When we see in the seven-point thought transformation, it says the three objects, the three root virtues, the three poisons. So the three poisons are attachment, hatred or anger, and ignorance. So the three root virtues are the actual the absence of the virtue, which is the absence of attachment, the virtue which is the absence of anger, virtue which is the absence of ignorance. So this is what the three root virtues are referring to, and that's this natural virtue. Association, virtue by association, is referring to those mental factors that accompany the consciousness that are virtuous at the time that the actual virtue is taking place, is being done by the mind or by the body or speech. So those mental factors that are present, that are accompanying it, the action. And then motivation is the last, and that's referring to, for instance, if one is paying homage, one's motivation is virtue. It's a virtuous motivation that's taking place there. So one is motivated to revere, or motivated to, I don't want to say bow down, but to pay homage, to prostrate. That's what motivation is referring to. Ninjutsu Jipa. So we'll take a short break. Kanga Lapsa. And we'll be right back if somebody wants to hand out some cookies or nuts or.
Gil, the Sajis, I mean, you shake the water, the Sajis, I mean, the Sajidon, the Pabijula, the Sajid, the Susu, Jula, the Sajid, the Shemaus, Susu, Jula, the Sajid, the Shigadis. Oh, yeah, that's the name of it. Sajid the Samuel, the Sajid's against the Sandjitan Wundua, Kuy Saba, Nyomubi Saba, Tobi Saba, Shidi Saba, and the Kare Nyomubi Saji, Shidi Saji, Kuy Saji, and
there
Tobi Saji, Tobi Saji, what is it?
So here it says virtuous karma is of two types, contaminated and uncontaminated. So what does this mean? If we were to divide contaminated into categories, we would divide it into four categories. Contaminated cyclic existence, contaminated conceptuality, contaminated afflictions, contaminated obstructions to omniscience. If it is any among those four, it is necessarily contaminated. If it is something other than any among those four, then it's necessarily not contaminated. This is the qualification for something to be contaminated. It is within these four: cyclic existence, afflictions, obstructions to omniscience, conceptuality. So we find in the Prajnaparamita teachings this presented.
Saji kanshi tadala sana kundi jeban jos Saji sikanti mipa tu tunden kanun kundi sabajizurunwa do te Saji kundi res mipa ta mipi kundi sabajizurunwa ta duba yoba mayina dosha yoba kalanju mudu yoba mayina shetan yoba kalanju wate nga su wate dosha ti yidunwa le ten dosha chikrisi kumarba yidunwa ita mipa yidunwa le tenne dosha ti aji yunga jimendo Maybe you're going to Saba Jesu Runga.
Okay.
That's when they're going to Saba Jesu Runga. Tune, Chetan, Tua Dushi Sebanga De, and then Nyomu Kaya Marwa. Kun Nyomu Tung Tungba Dian Dushi Saji, Tune Saji Riz, Tune Saji. Giyi Santa Tungba Dian Dushi, Tune Gawa, Megi Santa Tungba Dian Dushi, Tune Magawa Yisari. Tune Gwen Saba Jesu Runga.
The Mipa, the long garden, the Abhidharma.
Abhidharma Koyango Gudriya, Saji Kansha Teda, the San of Gudjevajus, Saji Second Garjasana, San Mipa the Sunday Korong and the Savages or one of the Saji Gitmeris.
Yes, sir.
Tell my Amy Chukung alone, Samis. Samil Tana Nakatan Gubanis. Dumashina Swante Nakatana Gubanis Nakataba in Logre and the Susu Tangu to Tamiji Guba. What does Mute Dumashi is Ame Logre?
Okay, so it states in the Abhidharma teachings that it is contaminated if it is among these among these four types that were presented before. So it's contaminated if it's among these four types. It isn't if it is something outside of them, if it's something which is not presented as them. So we see, for instance, when there's an object of observation that's attractive, then this creates attachment that takes place, or if there's something unattractive or that someone finds is repulsed by, then it causes an arousal of anger to take place. So the object of observation is associated with a contaminated mind, or a contaminated mind that's perceiving it, therefore that object itself is also contaminated. So the objects and the actual apprehenders of the objects are contaminated if those four things are present. And if those four things are present for the apprehender, then that which is apprehended is contaminated. When we look at the that word association, contaminated mental factors, for instance, if the mind itself is contaminated because it's accompanying it, so it is necessarily also contaminated. So the feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement, which are mental factors, are by default contaminated because the apprehending consciousness itself is contaminated. Those are two points that were made. I think that's it.
Samen te kazugre ta dene te ta unga tenga te para nga te para sanga te mide soas ne tonla gula mulula ni mo su te bi tonla gula mulula wo te su samen se samen sanje gi yu ten ka samen mi chon te ta
sanje yu ten So when we look at actual compounded or products themselves, it's translated as a lot of things, caused phenomena, it's also translated as, or product. There are contaminated products, and then there are non-contaminated products. If, for instance, it's an excellent quality of the Buddha, any excellent quality of the Buddha is necessarily not contaminated. So this is an example of something which is not contaminated. The Sanje Yunten Yina, the Sambi Yimbi Chap. Then the Gari Sumpre.
What that then? What the? Ah.
Need some Pakanga Lapsa.
Talila Yan Suna Gilita, Suna Mayimbilita, Mayuile, Sunja Gilua, Lila Yina Suna Gile, Suna Mayimbilita. Mühles, so sagen du. Tilla, gie, lela, so no, my even. Leila, so no, gelene, de conge gueules, so no gelete, and de conge gueule. Tene, what eh? Sono mai bile da sono gele ni wa sono gele da sono mai bile ni je anu nga so do yo mar ba sindi do wa sisi mi do wa sindi do wa gi che du sa ja be le ga lo ne sono mai bile in sare sindi do wa gi che du sa ja be le ga lo sono mai bile sisi mi do wa gi che du sa ja be gi le ga lo sono gele That the name you let that the concoma, Zuzumer Jag led to the Mule Lodomarbe.
So, virtuous karma is of two types, contaminated and uncontaminated. I will only discuss contaminated virtuous karma, of which there are two types, that present in a noble being's mind and that present in an ordinary person's mind. Only the latter need concern us here. Non-virtuous karma is karma that is non-meritorious. Meritorious karma is virtuous karma in the minds of beings of the desire realm. Invariable karma is contaminated virtuous karma in the minds of beings in the of the form or formless realms. And then similarly, the treasury of knowledge says, so then we get a quote from the Abhidharma teaching. So we divide karmas. We can divide them into three categories: meritorious karma, non-meritorious karma, and invariable karma, or immutable karma. It's translated as a lot. So these are the three categories. And say di.
Talila suno mai bile to suno chile to mayu le sun jang duwa. Ina ni sun ro. Ta mayu le to wate zuzume ji se dubi gwa sabata ji bile to su mayu le res. Zuzume se dubi kaza mayu le. Mayu le le so sa zuzume ji ji le to mayu le imre. Kun kar san ju le so non de kan ge le. Mais comment les GB chez son bicheros ou à terre d'oie?
So, we have these three types of karma, invariable karma, meritorious karma, and non-meritorious karma. So again, where do we find these points that are being made? It's in the treasury of knowledge, in Abhidharma text. It says merit is the virtuous karma of the desire realm. Invariable karma produces the higher deities realms. So here, this is saying that meritorious karma is a karma of this realm, whereas something which is called an invariable karma is specific to the higher deities realms, the form and formless realms, is what it's speaking of here. Diksung Rinpoche.
Tao de Kang Kumachi little Muyulis Loro, Muyuli, and Muyuli, Jusenkaris, Chisher, Muyulis Ashenas, Kang Kumachi Jigle, Zuzume Chigle, and the Muyuli, Karjin and Muyulis, Songres, Jabres, and Shena. Chetan Dubikona, Haitella Miji, Lengaji, Mata, Donuta, Eda Jetella Mibane, Debu. In Batejinto, Concoma Sagento, Meju Lena Satele, Gento Mimibena, Meua Shishates, Conscious Santa Lena, Miss Meu Sergius, Mishrosa, Meu Lay, Mujenta Say the Marbe, Chis Meu Leja Shena Jetan, Debi Kala, Saitella Meju, Debi Kala, Dola Jijig Lejurova. De la Jigigi, Ledigi, Tansan, what the maid and a maim grace, Melchiata, maid and a person superiorat and a man rope.
That's
it. Tansan to Ruth and a maim grace, Tangasu, Cousin Pico Jatman, Pico to Zuzibu Sharawa, Zuzibu to what the Lapenjig Ledigi, Zuzig Jushibaladene, and the Pico Zuzibala Suba, what the new and a maid to the man roa.
That's it.
Nebachu about the Gog Goa. Gog to his in it. What the Yeda tell me over it? What did you lose, mother?
The name the Yeda Garage Jagu. You intend?
Yeda, because I Yeda. Yeda is your wrong. I took the Nabana. Woman, you will go to the Jimby, the good there. Then you tell me about your ring and you tell me about yours.
So it says non-virtuous karma is karma that is non-meritorious. Meritorious karma is virtuous karma that in the minds of beings of the desire realm, invariable karma is contaminated virtuous karma in the realms of beings of the form or formless realms. And then it's similarly, the treasury of knowledge says, merit is the virtuous karma of the desire realm. Invariable karma produces the higher deities realms. And then why is it called invariable karma? In the desire realm, karma that should bear fruit while you are a deity may instead bear fruit while you are a human or an animal and a hungry ghost or a hungry ghost. Thus, its effect is variable. In the higher deities realms, karma that should bear fruit at a certain level does not mature at levels other than that. Thus, it is invariable. Thus, the treasury of knowledge says, why? Because the fruition of karma on these levels is not variable. So here, this is stating that there's even if one is a deity or a god and creates a karma, if he or she is creating a, for instance, a meritorious karma, a virtuous karma in the desire realm, if that is the case, then it can actually come to fruition anywhere within cyclic existence. There isn't a specific place or time, etc., where it can actually arise in the form of an experience. So here it says, if you created something as a deity, while you were a deity, for instance, in the future, you might have some sort of a manifestation of that action occur in the lower realms of cyclic existence, as a hungry ghost, for instance, or in other realms where there are varying varieties of experience that you can have. So it says here, you should karma that should bear fruit while you are a deity may instead bear fruit while you are a human, an animal, or a hungry ghost. Thus, its effect is variable. So this is what it's meaning. There's a variety of results that can be created by it. If there is something in the form or formless realm that's created, which is an invariable karma or mutable karma, then that can only specifically come to fruition in that form or formless realm place. It never changes or comes to fruition in a lower realm, meaning in this case, the desire realm. Which would be, looking at the six realms in that one category called desire realm. That's the point that's made here. Diksun Rinpoche.
This one. Water, that, and me, later, what in debit, the Kankumanam of the Trumaris, Rua. Me, later, debit, the Kankumanam of the Madu, Jusan Karas, and me, later, Sabitzer, Rua, Sabitzer, and then Debel Junta were Ponja Tawaris, Deba. Nemo, Satoma, Satoma, the Zuba, double junt and Ponjata, Kankomate, Neme, but Serino. What the Gutojata, Dingens of Gumba is Hosa, what they later debut, double Migamare, Kankoman Migamares, you said that is.
So this invariable means that. There are not these varieties of experience that can be created by a being who's in these higher realms, meaning the higher deity realms, meaning the form or formless realm. There are not these varieties of results that can happen from the accumulation of karma in those beings' positions. There are only specific results that can happen that are specific to that realm that they're abiding in, where it was accumulated. So this is the reasoning and the reason for it to be called this invariable or immutable karma. And it's because there are these varieties of experience that take place, only specifically experiences of those realms.
Was lesu bichu de marwa lesu bichu de la odin jaji bi saje je de gundu je lesu bichu de la jaji bi saje je de ne tombe de ne lesu bichu ne shi baba no la ge le chi chi ji su ba yu la me gi le ja ju ju da shi mo gi su ba yu ja nandu ta dendu ko pa bi le ne pa bi su ba me si te o ma tsa wa le ku za wa ju ji te de ji ke nan du me ji te shi me gi shi bi yin ke bi de ni tong shi ro shi zong ba dang shi bi yin ji ji jang denba tong la pen ba pen shi zong be shi ri si wa de ba tang bu tere ta kuwa pen shi ki le su chi gi le su ba te ane pa ba su la gi le su ba yuwa ri si ma ri ba shi pa ba la gi le ji ji su ba yuwa la me gi le jang ju ju de shi mu bu su ba yuwa ri si juju shung shimong dra chung ba wate juju de shung nye tu shuwa ka juju shung shimong dra chung ba si wate nja yo ro ta shu ne
shuwa ka okay
shuwa ka wate shung de shimong shuwa ka papa re papa
that's so is it J
Shubha ji dan, dhene ji, dhebala neba ji di ji ro si, shunye ji si gare. Shimon shubha dan dhene, shimon shubha dan dhene, dhajun shubha dan dhajun dhene, ji ho ji.
Lesa. And then the Jayan Sheba, the Sache, the Tambo, the Lodru.
Lesu bi chu tila wa jayan jibi sache ji di ne Tambo.
So now let me just read the rest of this out. I think I read everything. Why? Because the fruition of karma on these levels is not variable. So now we move on to number two, how you accumulate karma. It says, in general, beings create and accumulate only virtuous karma, yet stream enterers and once returners, noble beings on lower levels may accumulate non-virtuous karma. However, such noble beings do not accumulate karma that would impel them into a cyclic existence of either happy or miserable realms. For as Nagarjuna's fundamental treatise on the middle way says, as the root of cyclic existence is compositional activity, the wise do not create activity that impels rebirth. Unwise are those who do. The wise do not because they see reality. And then we have a quote from Vasubandhu, when you have seen the truth, you are not impelled to rebirth. Going back to the top here, Jayan Sheba says that we can divide this section, how you accumulate karma, into eight different categories. Those eight categories begin with category number one, which is the Nagarjuna's presentation according to the fundamental treatise on the middle way. So that'll be the first category, and that also has within it Vasubandhu's quote. So we have those two points that are made within it. That's the, according to, like I said, a Jayan Sheba, the first category in there. So then we have these different levels of beings who are on the, for instance, the hearer's path. And it says here in the text, let me find it here. Yet stream enterers and once returners. There are eight levels that are approaching and abiding according to the lesser vehicle system. So you have the approacher to the fruit of a stream enterer, abider in the fruit of a stream enterer, approacher to the fruit of a once returner, abider in the fruit of a once returner, approacher in the fruit of a never returner, and abider in the fruit of never returner, approacher in the fruit of the foe destroyer, and then abider in the fruit of the foe destroyer. So these are the eight levels that you'll find in the Shravaka system, in the hearer system. And this is what some of these are referring to. Decent, Rinpoche.
Maybe you think that is not Umatawa Shiro Nagajuna Marbe, Umatawa Les, Umatawa Le, Kuzawan Dujete, Tijer Kin on Dumages, Tijer Kin on Dumage, Kuzawan Duji, Coopanjig later, and then Coopanjig and Dujig later, and then Tijer Kin on Dumages, Tony Kaza, Tony Mosun to be Kebanola, Kebatuge. The co-opening led to Shagamares. The Shakin on Domeji. T. Shedder, when you want to be Keba Naji, the co-opening led to Shagamares. The Shakin on Domeji. T. Shed Makishi beans, and the Kazugre. That when you want to do dancing, you want to be Makiba to go at the co-opening led Sagres. The Shimakishi beans. Kebet the new Tonjeros,
lesser.
Kebet the Gatunion was on Tomba Yisota, Papa's Gatunion was on Tomba Yisota, and the Coopanjig Lay Sagamaris,
lesser.
Papa Maimba Sagaris,
lesser.
What the Redua,
lesser.
She's on Batanza. That Lemme any Damba Tonla Pamba Mess. Damba was on Tonsa and the Coopanjig Lay Sabayumaris, Damba Tonla Pamba Man. Si tan de lay on simes, what then do it on doa?
Lesser.
She's on the tombo, what about the red?
Lesser. So here it says, noble beings on lower levels, so that's referring to the stream enterers and once returners, as we just talked about, the Shravaka system, may accumulate non virtuous karma. However, such noble beings do not accumulate karma that would impel them into a cyclic existence of either happy or miserable realms. So then it says, for Nagarjuna's fundamental treatise on the middle way, the Mulyamanimika Karika says, as the root of cyclic existence is compositional activity, the wise do not create activity that impels rebirth. Unwise are those who do. The wise do not because they see reality. So here, wise, here we're referring to those superior beings, those Arya beings. Those Arya beings who've had a direct valid cognition of emptiness at the path of seeing, the path of meditation, or the path of no more learning. So for those beings, they no longer accumulate the karma that would be a throwing karma into another rebirth, into cyclic existence. They do not create those any longer because the coarse afflictions have been abandoned at that level for the superior, for the Arya who has seen emptiness. Even though they have karma still present, they don't accumulate new karma that would actually create this rebirth in the circle of cyclic existence. So it says the wise do not create activity that impels rebirth. So those superior beings, after they've seen emptiness, no longer create activity or engage in action that would cause another rebirth. So that's the reason why these beings are no longer reborn or have to be reborn or are forced into rebirth because they no longer have the potential for that because they don't accumulate the causes for the experience. And then Basubandhu says, when you have seen the truth, you are not impelled to rebirth. So here, Basubandhu is talking about seeing emptiness directly. When you've seen emptiness directly, then you no longer are thrown into or impelled to rebirth. Meaning you don't have you don't create this karma for more rebirth. The Ton Lampa. The Korwa Yanja Jigudu.
Jigudu.
Lesser.
Saji Mobu Yurta, Tobu Yuri.
I was asking Rinpoche about the being on the path of seeing. It's only that being's direct valid cognition of emptiness that's actually not contaminated, that would fall categorically under uncontaminated. That being still is contaminated. That being still has conceptuality, still has various negativities. But the coarse things are gone, and they no longer, as a result of seeing reality, create more circumstances for suffering within it. Consequently, as long as you operate under the influence of the conception of a self, you will accumulate karma that will impel you into cyclic rebirth. Once you have perceived reality, that is selflessness, you may still be reborn in cyclic existence by the power of former karma and afflictions, but you will not accumulate any new karma that can impel such rebirth, as the Sangha's level of yogic deed states, and then it'll go on to validate what's been presented by Lama Tsongkhapa already above that. So here it's saying that once you have perceived reality, so once, what does that mean? That means once you've had a direct valid cognition of emptiness, once you become a superior being, become an Arya being, here it's qualified, it says, once you have perceived reality, that is selflessness. So once you have had this direct valid cognition of the no self, of the lack of self that you have, then even though you can be born in cyclic existence still by your karma and your afflictions, you don't create anything new. You don't create any new opportunities for the experience of being thrust or thrown into other realms of cyclic existence. You don't accumulate karma that will create new experiences within cyclic existence as a superior being. So once you've seen emptiness directly. So the Papa Tome, the Chirande Loson.
Papa Tome, the Bon, Nenju Shubi Sale, Swamp Shiros, Nenju Shubi Sa. Nenju Shubi Sa was Satanagan, Nenju Shubi Sa, the Marbe. What the Sanga Sund was a Kunde, Papa Tome Jagundua.
Yes, sir. So Asanga's levels of yogic deeds is where we find this information about I'm sorry, this information just presented here, that this grasping at this true self, when that's present, and when you're under the influence of that grasping at the self as being truly established, then you will definitely have rebirth again. And once you've perceived the lack of self that you were grasping at, then you don't have any reason to accumulate new karma to throw you into another negative circumstance. It says, as the Sangha's level of yogic deeds says, stream enterers and once returners do not ascend to strong, I'm sorry, do not ascend to the conception of a self, but rather reject it in the same way the strong overpower the weak.
So there are five different pathways, Mahayana pathways. The first is the path of accumulation. The second is the path of preparation. The third is the path of seeing. The fourth is the path of meditation. And the fourth is the path of no more learning. On those different pathways, there are various levels. So when we look at the path of preparation, the path of preparation is the where one starts to get rid of that conception of self, and then inferentially understands it in a complete way just before there is a direct valid cognition of it. And that direct valid cognition is the actual path of seeing. Once that takes place, once there is an actual seeing of emptiness, then that being is a superior being at that point in time. So the path of preparation has four categories. So it's heat, the peak, patience, and the last mundane place of cyclic existence. So these are the four categories of the that are in the path of preparation, or the four stages of the path of preparation. So once one crosses over from preparation to seeing, at that point one is a superior and is now operating under this understanding, under this wisdom, that understands the nature of reality and has, because of the direct perception of it, and therefore reacts differently to the actual, to reality. Eat, peak, patience, last mundane state. So looking at the categories of the pathways, the path of accumulation has three categories, small, medium, and great. The path of preparation has four categories, the heat, peak, patience, and last mundane state. And then it's at that last mundane state where the person is just about to see emptiness directly. So that's the last time that he or she will be an ordinary person. That's the last period while they're on that
last mundane state level of the path of preparation. That's the last time that being will be an ordinary being. He or she will then transform into or become, however one wants to say it, a superior. After that, that's the next step from there, the next stage from there. So if we look at the mantra in the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, Teata Om Gati Gati Paragati Parasangati Bodhisoha, the first two gates, Teata Om Gati Gati, are referring to the path of accumulation and the path of preparation. So at those two levels, you still have the ability to accumulate the propelling karma that would cause cyclic existence. But when we get to Paragate, Parasangati, Bodhisoha, at that point one has transcended from the path of seeing to the path of meditation to the path of no more learning, ordinary being state, and transcended then the accumulation of causes for cyclic existence. Diksum. So the first category, so when we look at Jayan Sheba's outline of the eight categories within this how you accumulate karma, the first category shows how the superior beings no longer accumulate the karma that creates cyclic existence. And that is then supported by the fundamental treatise on the middle way, which is the root wisdom text by Nagarjuna, and then also supported here by Basubandhu, where a same point is made about the superior beings not having to create the karma for another rebirth. So this is the first category in cyclic existence, another rebirth in cyclic existence. This is the first category. The second category then deals with where is the last place or the last where is the final point for someone who is still an ordinary being, and that then is answered by at the path of preparation, that last mundane state is where we find the ordinary being's last kind of time as an ordinary being.
That's how you sumbatin doesn't do a theater, Numujaji Maribata, GD Jamat, Numujaji Maribata, GD Jamat Jobates, Numujaji Maribi Jamat Jobata, GD Jamat Joba, Numujaji Mariba, Numujaji Mariba, GD Jamat Jobas, Tan Numujaji Maribata. Maribata takona nila mo maribata lendela mo maribata so marba nyamuje je maribasa na wate ne takona nila mo maribata otsu injere jiti jita sna ne raju je ngala me ne nga rangon rubaz bi shero nyamuje jita la mo marba jita nyamuje je maribata jiti jwan du chuba te sa Maribata, Jiti Jamatu Jobategote, Lutanga, Ismontege, Sujela Subi, Megi Leng Sagresa, Megi Sujusu, Magua, Mobaran Dushinas, Suna Maimbi, Lesulasa, Suna Maim Lesugresa, Dukanjigawa, Jimbatuata, Dukanjigawa, Jimbatuata, Sutin Suna Sun Dushinane.
Suma Mingare. So now we get into category number three, and it deals with how these various karmas, meritorious, non-meritorious, and immutable or invariable karmas are created. So how are they? So it says, in the same way the strong overpower the weak. Hence, every ordinary person from the highest level of the supreme stage of the Mahayana path of preparation on down accumulates karma that impels rebirth and cyclic existence. Accordingly, when those who are under the influence of afflicted ignorance and the view of the perishing aggregates become physically, verbally, or mentally involved in non-virtue, killing, for example, they accumulate non-meritorious karma. Those who perform virtuous acts within the desire realm, such as practicing generosity or maintaining ethical discipline, accumulate meritorious karma. So I think I'm reading forward. I'm just going to finish this. Those who cultivate the meditative state, such as meditative serenity, at the level of meditative stabilizations of the form realm, or the formless absorptions, accumulate invariable karma. Here, there's an this is number three. I guess Khandre, who the Khandre, the Sonamayimi le Sonanji le dang Mui le Khandre su.
Yamujeji Mariba dang Jiti Jiwandu Jubi ne Kaza Duzuki Sonamayimi le Sagres.
Lasso.
Jiti Jiwandu Jukin Julan Julan Majil Maduyo Marwa.
Lasso.
Julan Majil Maduyo Marwa.
Lasso.
The Sagres at that. Tan debi kanjin gwal jemba ta da sutin sumala soba wa tu suk ga sona jileres tan debal chun tan ne mo wa tsirin wa atni chun de ta moja ta kan komal tsirin wa ne me bal so to ja ta ne sa de guna ne me yu le sa ne res se debi guna me yu le soba yinos wa de somba de lo wa de sona jile ta
Okay, so number three is who accumulates meritorious, non-meritorious, and invariable karma. So that's what number three is in Jayan Cheva's outline. So I'll just read it again because now it makes more sense. Accordingly, when those who are under the influence of afflicted ignorance and the view of the perishing aggregates become physically, verbally, or mentally involved in non-virtue, killing, for example, they accumulate non-meritorious karma. Those who perform virtuous acts within the desire realm, such as practicing generosity or maintaining ethical discipline, accumulate meritorious karma. Those who accumulate meditative states, such as meditative serenity, at the level of meditative stabilizations of the form realm, or the formless absorptions, accumulate invariable karma. So this is who accumulates these types of karma, number three. So we're out of time, and thank you very much, and we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. So in the future, we'll go over this again. So we'll do it.
Yeah.
The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected to the benefit of all sentient and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Buddha Andropa to shine forever. I send forth this jewel mandala to you, precious Guru.
I dedicate
all these virtues
and emulate the knowledge of the
Hero as well, with whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times. I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds in that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains. You are the source of all happiness. All powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance.